Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast, the summer edition with Dave Stanley and Stewie Clark. And it is 6 minutes past 8 o'clock. And usually we would start the next hour, we'd have the intro and away we'd go, and we'd set up for another big hour of radio. But there was some very sad news overnight with Frank Arock passing away aged 88. And he was instrumental for Australian football. And we wanted to get Robbie Slater on this morning because we saw some social media tributes along with many of Robbie's ex-players and anyone that basically loved the game on the Twitter sphere last night. And Robbie, as I say, good morning to you. It was very sad news to come through yesterday.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, it certainly was. And look, Frank hadn't been well for quite some time. But he was a fighter. He was a fighter. And eventually it's caught up on him, and he's sadly passed away. But even though he's gone, and we've had a few in football lately, this one's has a very Australian touch, although he was born in the Kingdom of Yugoslavia in a place called Novi Sad. He was very much an Aussie at heart. He never lost his accent. But that certainly just made him even more endearing in a football sense. But, yeah, look, his stamp on the game in this country, both at club level and at obviously national level, won't be forgotten.
Robbie, he was a huge influence on your career, wasn't he?
Clark, he certainly was. Quite simply, he discovered me. And when I say literally from nowhere, I'm talking literally nowhere. I was a 16-year-old playing for third grade at a club called Auburn in the State League. I think it was State League 2 or 3 in those days. Mm. This was back in 1981. And as I came to find out, he had been scouting me for quite some time. Now, I was playing in third grade as a 16-year-old. Auburn was quite a famous club back in those days. It went through a period where it really concentrated on Aussie youth. And Clarky, I don't know if you know, but that's where I played for 3 years, nearly 4 years, with Stephen Mark Waugh. Mm. Obviously, they were cricketers as well. And geez, they were good at everything. They used to play tennis as well, I think. Mm. Roger, their father, was a very good tennis player and tennis coach. But that's where Frank Arock had scouted me, and I was playing in the third grade. I think Stephen Mark was still in the 16s at that stage. Anyway, in between seasons, 81, it might have been 80, 81 or 81, 82, but anyway, he scouted me, and it took me to a club called St. George, which was a powerhouse in Australian football in those days in the NSL. Mm. And he was the head coach, and they had a lot of fantastic players, of course, and I was a kid. Now, I do remember, and this is what Frank Arock, a bit of his mentality was like. I remember as a 16-year-old, I went with my father, as he did in those days, to sit down and talk with Frank Arock about moving to St. George from Auburn. There was no transfer fee involved. And I sat down, and anyway, as a 16-year-old, I was sort of dumbstruck, you know, and starstruck, and a lot of talking was going on, and I heard certain figures mentioned in that meeting, and I heard the number $500 being mentioned, and my heart sunk because I looked at my dad, and I looked at Frank Arock, and I said, "What, we have to pay you $500 to play for St. George?" And Frank Arock looked at me and said, no. "You silly boy," he says. "We're going to give you $500." To a young 16, I was in year 12 at the time, and still at school doing my HSC. And that $500 bought my very very first car, which was a HT Holden, which got me back and forth to training with St. George. And
wow.
I remember my father asking Frank Arock. He said, "So you're signing Robbie for the youth team?" And Frank Arock looked at him with not anger, but looked at him incredulously and me, and said, "I don't sign players for the youth team." And you know, a few months later, after a very tough preseason and an eye-opening preseason, I think I played 6 games in the National Youth League, at that stage, and St George weren't going very well. In fact, they were going terribly. And he thrust me into the, as a 17-year-old, thrust me into the first team, and I never went back. And he, I remember he said to me, he said, son, you're playing, you're in the first team, and he said, you're there to stay, so don't worry about it.
Robbie, I've got an article here and that Nick found from Ray Gatt about your debut against the Marconi Datsun Leopards. Is that correct? And that he
that's right. He Marconi, it was a 2-2 draw, and I'll never forgive Gatty for what he wrote.
And he was saying here that you know, the crowd were sort of thinking, well, what's
you,
Frank
I'll
done?
I'll tell you what he said. I'll tell you. You don't need to tell me. He said that the crowd were wondering what they'd done putting this this young kid in, and the gamble looked to have been failing. Until a bit of slick footwork or something, I think he wrote, or someone else.
Yep.
And I set up the equalising goal, and the crowd rose to defeat. I don't think he wrote the crowd rose to defeat, but I'm telling you they did. And and that set me on my way.
It's amazing, those little moments in time that, you know, just happen, and at the time you don't really realise what's going on. Yeah. But, you know, you look back at your football career, your illustrious football career, and you think, if it wasn't for Frank, maybe none
of that. I wouldn't have done it.
Not, maybe none of that ever happens.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't happen. I don't see anyone in Australian football at that stage, or soccer as it was certainly called in those days, that would have had the capacity to pull someone from third grade in Auburn and literally 4 months later, or however long it wasn't that long a time, playing in the national, you know, the National Soccer League, and travelling to Adelaide and travelling to Melbourne, and as a 17-year-old. And it was an era, and he started that era of players, young players, starting to play games and going into teams and staying there. Frank Farina was another one. Eddie Thompson, the late Eddie Thompson, who was actually assistant to Frank Garrick and took over from Frank Garrick as national coach in 1989, he was another one. And the coaches all around the country gave young players a go, and 17 and 18-year-old started to play in the National Soccer League at the time.
He coached from 83 to 89, 48 matches for Australia. What did he mean, other than what you were talking about, for the players? He just seems like such a big figure.
Oh, he was. He was mad. He was absolutely mad. We had a name for him because his accent, as I said to the start, stayed with him for his whole life. And it was quite famous. So you remember, obviously, Star Wars. Everyone remembers Star Wars, particularly the first one, and the character Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Well, Frank, at his best, when he was shouting out instructions, sounded like Chewbacca. And so he affectionately got the nickname of Chewie, we used to call him. Uh-huh. And that's exactly what he was like. But he was, that was his accent. But he was a motivator. I've never seen anyone be able to motivate people like he was. And he was a winner. And it was almost a win at all costs. I remember we went to the Olympics in 1988 to Seoul. And it was the last time before in Barcelona it became under 23 competition. But I remember we got there and, you know, we were, you know, getting ready and training. And I remember it was a couple of days before our first game where we were the underdogs. We were going to play his old country, if you want. That's where he's born. We were going to play Yugoslavia, who were a massive team in those days. They had some fantastic players. Stojkovic was the most famous of them. But, you know, they were expected to beat us and beat us well. I think they were silver medalists in the Olympics 4 years before. Anyway, Frank gets us up and we're up on the Australian team, the whole lot of us were in the village, obviously, and we had, I think it was three buildings. They were quite tall. I think they were about 12 stories high. Anyway, Frank took us to a meeting room at the top of this building, and he was giving a speech, and assistant Eddie Thompson was there, and he was talking about the Olympics and what it means to be to the Olympics, and someone was speaking from the IOC to us, who then left. And gave us this, you know, spiel about what it meant to be at the Olympics and all this fair play and all this. And we were, like, listening, of course. And as players, we're getting quite bored by it, to be honest. Anyway, the guy left. And Frank Gorrit said, "Stuff this," in his chewy accent. And Eddie Thompson was holding a clutch of yellow things that you put around your neck, you know, and it had "Fair Play" written on them in blue, and they were bright yellow. Langlets, that's it. And we were all to wear these before the Yugoslavia game. Anyway, Frank Garrick went over and said, "Stuff this." And he grabbed the stack of Langlets, and he opened the window of the top floor, and he said, "Stuff this, boys. We ain't playing Fair Play." And he threw all these Fair Play Langlets out the window, and they floated down over the village. And he said, "We are going to kick the absolute shit out of them." That's what he said. And it stuck with us, and we went to beat Yugoslavia 1-0. Obviously, there was a lot more to it. But that's what Frank was. He was a winner.
Robbie, we appreciate you coming on and talking about Frank Yarok this morning. As I said, it was very sad news yesterday. We could hear stories from you all morning. We do have to get to other guests, so we'll talk to you later in the week. But as I said, thanks for coming on, mate, and giving you some insights. And, yeah, may you rest in peace.
Yeah, thanks, boys. Cheers.